podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 14 from the XFM Breakfast Show. And guess who's on it? Bill Bailey's on it. Adam Hills is on it. Florence Welch is on it. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are on it. Robin Cooper's on it. Rhys Ifans is on it. Quizface is on it. And a lot of men named Paul are on it. Get in it.
Yes, we are XFM. Benny Wallace.
What do you reckon is the most shoplifted thing in Britain?
Oh, razor blades.
It's unusual.
Just they're very expensive, and I'm sure I've
very heard unusual before. Guess.
I'm sure I've heard before that they are. Are they not even in the top 10?
Are you all right? Are you going through something at the minute? Are you sleeping all right?
Look, they've always got those things on, those alarm tags on them. Razor blades are quite expensive, you know.
Right, it's not that. It's not. It's cheese. It's cheese, Matt.
Shut up.
4% of all cheese. All cheese. 4% of all cheese is stolen. That's just a fact.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Across the board.
Of all the cheese, 4%.
How can they know that?
Well,
what about all the cheese that isn't reported? Well, that's made all over the world.
Imagine they count it. They've got quite a strict system when it comes to stocking and restocking. Yeah. And 4% of all cheese is pilfered.
Wow, because a lot of it's behind the deli counter. So like,
yeah, maybe it's the people who work behind the deli counters.
Oh, right. Yeah,
really got to be watching out for them. Pilfering is so bad that one supermarket is planning to put security tags on Stilton and put guards on the cheddar aisle. That can't be true, the cheddar bit. But but they're saying that the economic downturn has led to a rise in hard-up middle-class shoplifters who can't give up their cheese.
XFM. Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. And before me sits two of the most exciting people we've had on the show, I would say, Matt Dyson.
Oh, yeah.
One is a celebrity-confirmed listener who is currently chewing some form of granola bar. I don't know what it is. The other one, his status as a listener is as yet unknown. He is standing, almost like ready to pounce.
Yeah.
It's Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Hey.
How are you, gents? Are you all right?
We're well, yeah. Can I speak for you?
Go on, then.
Yeah, we're both good.
That's good.
Yeah, we're good.
Is that how it's going to work? You're the elected spokesman today.
Well, I didn't like to just say, yeah, we're fine without checking.
No, that's true.
And we know, sometimes we look at each other and he knows what I'm thinking. So I looked at him and what I said with my eyes was, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Only yes, I'm fine, but yes, you are free to say I'm fine.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Wow, so I suppose you have over the years developed a shorthand, almost a psychic shorthand.
Years ago, we kind of could sit around and literally have conversations without talking, and like people would find it really weird because we're really laughing at something that they, you know, it didn't.
That would be slightly odd.
It was in a lab, to be fair. We were like, Nick was levitating some bricks. And,
Suburban X-Men.
It was a special college, yes.
Like, yeah, we went to the Fringe College.
Because you were flatmates years and years ago, and I wonder how could we engineer a situation in which you two had to share a flat again?
Because of divorce?
Right, okay. Yeah, if we both got divorced.
I see, let's not. Yeah, I've gone down an alleyway here that I don't think.
If you take some grainy pictures of me on a beach with a young model and then send them to my wife, yeah, I could very well be living with Nick.
Well, that's not something we want to do.
No.
I last saw you two guys at the National Movie Awards.
Yeah.
And I knew that your lives, sir, had changed when I saw Nick at one point. Gwyneth Paltrow walked by and she went crazy for Nick.
Yeah.
She just went, Nick! And started waving. And Nick just went, yeah, I'll see you later. And off she went. I was so impressed.
Yeah, you got to play it cool, you know.
He likes to do what's called negging. You know that with girls, it's like. And Gwyneth is very responsive to negging.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how Chris did it?
All the beautiful. That's
probably. Chris can't help but neg everyone because he's tiny, sort of like insular man. No, he's not at all. I'm not.
Right. Now I say you're busy. I assume you've got your next sort of 9 or 10 projects lined up. Are they kind of separate, or are they more together? Or
we've got some separately, but we are
are definitely coming back together next year to do another film, which Edgar and Simon have penned.
Great.
Which will be the kind of last in the Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, A.N.
The trilogy. Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah. And then Simon and I have got a great idea for something after that. So
fantastic.
Yeah,
are you allowed to talk about the one that you're definitely doing?
No.
No, I'll
tell you what, we'll talk about it more when it gets near, just because it's so hard to keep secrets these days.
Yes.
And we just want to make sure we keep enough of it back for it to be a nice surprise when it arrives.
I give my blessing to all these projects.
Thank you.
And more.
Thank you,
but as part of the deal coming on the show, I don't know if anyone explained this to you, maybe not, they're sort of looking at me a little bit blankly. You legally sign up, technically, to some projects that I would like to produce for you, which are separate. They should have explained this. They did sign all the documents. The first one, it's called Snap My Pitch Up, this, so, you have to agree to one of them. The Peg Seg. This is a hidden camera obdoc in 23 parts. Simon Pegg hides in alleyways and underneath cars in order to eavesdrop on the conversations of passers-by and then hijack those conversations with interesting segues into what he wants to talk about, be that some new clothes he's bought, a recent trip to Berlin, or even just what he's planning on having for lunch today. So an example might be someone says, Donna's getting a new earring today, at which point, boom, you pounce. The first earrings were developed in the North African deserts, where much of my new film, Tantan, is set. But will they notice, or will they be swept away by the power of your storytelling? That's what this landmark ITV4 series intends to find out.
I like it.
Yeah, are you in?
In theory, I like it. I'm not really doing TV at the moment.
Right, okay. I did use the word landmark.
I didn't like the...
Not about you.
I know, I'm just saying, I didn't like the... Hey, Donna's getting a new earring today.
But she might be, though.
It's never... Whoever gets to one earring, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, the specificity of that conversation.
He said, Donna's got new earrings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to come on board as a writer?
No.
Right. Frost Vixen. Did you know that a vixen is defined by the dictionary as a woman regarded as quarrelsome, shrewish, or malicious? Nick Frost does. And in this breathtaking series, he goes out of his way to make vixens feel bad about themselves for a small cash prize. It should be noted, Nick, this is not a fun show. It's dark, it's quite bleak, it's very difficult to watch. I see this as Saturdays between Hole in the Wall and Something with Nick Knowles.
Again, not really doing TV.
Right.
Isn't Vixen also a female fox?
Yes, it is, but that's not a good TV show.
I like that. I prefer that.
Frost Vixen.
Yeah.
And it's you with a small... fox.
Yeah, walking the canal towpaths of the country. Watching the fox.
Make it a movie,
watching
bitch.
The vixen eat slugs.
Okay, well, you've tweaked the format, but technically it's still my format, so are you in?
No.
Peg Legs. Simon Pegg talks us through his legs. That's it, really. That's all I've got for that.
That's promising.
Pretty impressive advertising.
Do you think it would hold up to a three-act structure?
Well, it's not a film. It's very much in the vein of Who Do You Think You Are?
I see. It's like a kind of a gentle walk through my legs.
Yeah, Peg Legs. We've got Alice Beer's ears, Axel Nose, and Ken Hom's Chinese knees.
FM.
You know what's happening? Evolution is happening. That's what's happening. And I'm not 100% sure I'm happy with this. Usually I'm right behind evolution. But I think, things have evolved enough now.
Us to devolve now or just stay still?
Let's just enjoy what we've got.
Yeah, let's cool off period.
Cool your jets, everybody.
Slow it down.
Because some words that I enjoy are leaving the English language. Cripes says this story. Dozens of traditional old words like balderdash and spiffing are dying out as we use more text speak, Matt.
Oh, no.
Terms like rambunctious, verily, salutations, and betwixt have been dumped. They've been dumped by the LOL generation.
Oh.
Found just 9% of people have used the word bogus. Only 10% have used the word fiddlesticks. Only 3/4, oopsie-daisy. And only half have ever used knackered.
Oh.
The other words that aren't used anymore, bally, laggard, felicitations, rambunctious, verily, salutations, betwixt, as I've said, lauded, arcane, raconteur, cad, betrothed, cripes, malaise, quash, swell, balderdash, smite, spiffing, and tomfoolery.
Ugh.
And you know why?
Why? Because it's not easy to type into your phone.
No, but there are ways, Matt.
There are ways. I use knackered in text all the time.
Yes, as do I, sir.
Yeah.
But that's because we're traditionalists.
Yeah.
Probably won't be called them soon, will we? Won't be allowed to use that word.
Yeah.
I just think, guys, let's leave our language alone now. You caddish agents of pointless change, you bally nitwits and nincompoops who quash your swelling pride and smite. Yes, I said smite. Our spiffing tongue with your patronising balderdash and tomfoolery, your unnecessary rambunctiousness. I don't want to lol. Take your rufflecopter and stick it up your speckled hen. I smite thee, laggards. You're affecting a British malaise and there's nothing PMSL about it. We need to concentrate, Matt. We need to concentrate. We need to sit down. We need to cool our freaking jets, you know? Concentrate on what we're good at. Which is why this story is so good. It's all about a new perfume that's on offer, Matt, which smells of Marmite, Branston pickle, and beer.
Oh,
that's a British smell. Mix. A British smell. This is the opposite of these other stories, you know? It's kind of celebrating what we got, not trying to get rid of it. And it's supposed to conjure up the smell of the Midlands town, Burton-on-Trent.
Right, yeah. What are the ingredients again?
Marmite, Branston pickle, and beer.
Yeah, I've been to Burton. Yeah,
well, no, you've been to your house. I imagine your house smells very much of that.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
So it got me thinking, you know, local scents in Britain, you know, ooh. If we were going to start our own business today of local scent making, what would your local area smell of? So, you know, I'm thinking Nottinghamshire, Matford. In fact, we got some appropriate music, and you can sell this to us, Matt.
Oh, right, okay.
Like a perfume ad.
What? Eau de toilette that is Nottingham.
Yeah.
It would smell...
Sprouse toilet.
It would smell of mushy peas with mint sauce and a hint of maudlin Midlands mundanity.
Wow.
Also, essence of pine from the lush Sherwood Forest woodland, a hint of Brian Clough's old whiskey tumbler, and Stilton from Colston Bassett.
I'm in. I'm totally, totally in.
Spray it on.
Phil?
Given the preponderance of our Irish brethren and therefore Irish pubs in my hood, Eau de Kilburn has the faint whiff of Guinness. Yeah. Its proximity to Edgware Road means the gentle odour of the ubiquitous shisha pipe features heavily, while the musky smell of desperation is also prevalent.
Wow, very nice, very nice. Dave, Stockport, is it called Stockport?
It is called Stockport, yeah, and it has a very famous hat museum, so I was thinking maybe...
That's the lid of the bottle.
It's a hat. Well, I was thinking maybe bowler unisex.
Oh.
Faint hints of pie. Yeah. A taste of David Dickinson's fake tan with a strong lashing of heavy rain.
That's nice.
Bowler unisex from Stockport. Hats off.
Oh, he's got the tagline and everything.
Tagline.
Mine is called, it's North London for men and women. It's called Aspiration. Ooh. It's a heady mix of latte, pomposity, and unfulfilled ambition. Comes in an original Italian olive oil bottle wrapped in an overly complicated and curiously expensive parking permit. And what you do is you just drizzle it over yourself lightly and add a little basil. Although, always do keep a bay leaf in your pocket. 10 millilitres is just $49.99, and you have to get your cleaner to pick it up. XFM. Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and Matt Dyson. You know, we punch above our weight when it comes to guests, don't we? We got some good guests on this show.
It's the home of the A-listers.
It's the home of the A-listers, and never more so than this very morning when we are incredibly proud to have him on the show. His new film, Anonymous, opens on Friday. It's only the super cool Reese Iffans. Here he is. Yeah.
Right, right.
Hello, how are you?
Well, very good. Good morning, afternoon, whatever it is.
He's got no idea. Are you well, first of all?
Yeah, very well.
I'm pleased to hear it.
Yeah.
Your new film opens in just a few days' time. I went to see it the other day. What a fascinating idea for a film. It's all about... It's kind of a conspiracy theory, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is. But, I mean, it's more than that. You know, it's a political thriller set in Elizabethan England during the beginnings of the Tudor uprising. But it does raise the question of whether, you know, William Shakespeare of Stratford was the author of the plays. There's very little evidence to support that.
Yeah.
And our film proposes that it was Edward de Vere, the Earl of Oxford, whom I play.
Yes. Brilliantly, I should say, as well. It's a fantastic performance. You know, you're a busy man. You've got a lot of stuff going on. The new film opens on Friday. I imagine you've got many projects lined up after that.
Yeah.
Part of the deal, though, with coming on the XFM Breakfast Show is that you legally have to sign up, contractually, to at least one project that I am producing with you in mind.
Yeah, go on.
So this is called Snap My Pitch Up. Yeah. And like I say, it is a legally binding thing. The first idea I have for you, Reese, and you know, there's a few here. You can choose one of these. The first one is Ifan Stevens, right? Reese Fans is on a mission to find 3,000 of the world's best Stevens and put them on a giant seesaw overlooking Oakwood Theme Park in his birthplace of Haverford West. Why? Because he's Reese Fans, and Reese Fans, if he wants to construct a giant seesaw overlooking that theme park, that's what he'll do. But it's not as easy as it may sound. Some of the Stevens will be tiny, some of the Stevens will be quite tubby. Will Reese be able to balance the Stevens on the Ethan Stevens seesaw before the theme park closes at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. on Sundays? There's no real point to this series, but I imagine we'll come up with something during production.
That sounds like a winner, man.
Yeah, you in? Yeah. Straight away, it's just a boom. Yeah,
book early.
Well, you could have, I mean, you could have had Don't Stop.
Jesus Christ.
You could have had Don't Stop Belief.
No wonder you're in radio.
In all seriousness, TV has been slow to snap up any of these ideas.
Yeah.
You've got Don't Stop Belief Fan, hidden camera show in which Reese reconstructs dance routines made famous by the cast of Glee. We could also call this Reese Glee Fans. This would all be filmed on CCTV. You wouldn't, you know, the strange thing is that passers-by wouldn't really know what was going on. It would be a little iPod that you would listen to, and then you would break out into dance routines.
Right.
Because music licensing, those archaic laws, are prohibitively expensive. So we just play white noise over the dancers.
Yeah.
Yep, for that as well.
Listen, man, I don't need a lawyer to sign up to it.
That's two. You've got E-Fans.
I'm aroused.
we'll just stop there. I mean, I had E-Fans as iFans, where you'd be pitching the new iFan to the Apple Corporation. Theo Pafitis is very interested in that, though he is worried about his grandchildren's inheritance.
Yeah.
Mrs. P-Matt has no such qualms.
Yeah.
E-Fancy You, which is very much like a bawdier sort of Groucho Club sort of blind date.
I can see that.
Reese's Pieces, we'd look at different pieces of you from your sternum to your filtrum. And Reese Police, which looks at crimes committed by people called Reese.
Yeah, which there are many.
Okay. Well, if it's all right, I'll get you to sign the bottom of there. So, that is...
Do you mind if I do an X?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine.
It's just quicker like that.
It's what Shakespeare did. We are... It's Bill Bailey, everybody.
Hey!
Hi, Bill.
Oh, all right.
How are you, for goodness sake?
I'm all right, actually, thanks. Yeah, very well.
I'm pleased to hear it.
No, not so bad.
I'm a massive fan of Bill Bailey. I said that in the sort of the... I used your full name there to deflect the compliment, to make you feel less uncomfortable.
Oh, I see.
Me seem less...
See, that's what I like about modern broadcasting, is a kind of postmodern element to it. You say something and then you kind of deconstruct what you say after you've said it.
Most of the links are that.
That's good.
That's what happens.
I kind of like that. That's my milieu.
Is it really?
Yes.
Little use of French there, Dave. You write that down. I'll teach you it later.
Noted.
You see what I did there? I used a bit of French to elevate that little section. Cool. There's a danger that you deconstruct all the way down to point zero.
Well, absolutely. No, that happens. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but after you said milieu, I then deflected by putting it onto Dave there.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Just in case it seemed like we were veering too intellectual,
I
thought, well, I'll bring it down with a little bit of sort of sly deconstruction.
Boom, got it.
Bosh, got it. Right in the middle. Dans la tête. Oh no, I've done it again.
Yeah, he's done it. We'll have to start again. Mind you, with quotes like this about your show, a consistently inventive mix of sociopolitics, art history, anthropology, and astrophysics.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's it.
That's a broad brief.
A couple of knob gags towards the end. And then
it tricks you into thinking you know what you're going to get, but then at the same time, it takes a while to deconstruct even the quotes about the show. Yeah.
So I've actually had people in interviews where they've read out the review and they say, what does this word mean? I don't actually know what this means.
Yeah.
I've got a review. It says, his cadenzas have become even more rococo.
Book me in.
What does he do? Show? Is it art? Is it painting? Sculpture? What? I don't understand.
I would have thought that our paths would have crossed before in some way, and I was thinking about it, and they hadn't, apart from when I was a student. I would say it was maybe 12 or 13 years ago, and here's what happened.
Okay.
And this has weighed heavy on me, Bill Bailey, for many years, and it's the kind of thing where I've woken up in the night sometimes, and it's been something I've thought about, and you know you have that anxiety, for God's sakes. And what happened was...
You've stolen something from me.
Well, as good as.
It wasn't you that nicked my stereo and my car in 1988. No, it wasn't.
No, that wasn't me. No,
that
I remember. All that happened was I was a student, and I wanted to record something for my student radio thing, and a friend of mine who's a journalist said, I'm interviewing Bill Bailey. do you want to come down and just to hang out while I'm doing it? And I said, yes, that'd be great. And so we went to this cafe, and there you were, and you gave him a great interview, and I sort of sat there and did that. And then, you know, you would have thought that he would have bought you breakfast or something to get you out of, you know, you get you out of bed and do all this kind of stuff. Right. And it came to something like £4.80 or whatever. And this guy, David, just got up and left, right? Saying, bye, thanks anyway. And then I'm sitting with you, and I'm thinking, well, I should pay for this, but I'm a student and I had literally no money on me. So I had to then, it was almost like I was just walking away from you having forced you to buy breakfast. So I'm giving you this now.
Oh,
it's £5.
So you can hear that? That's a £5.
And I've written sorry on the Queen's neck.
Well, change. I've got 20p change.
No, no,
fair's fair.
Oh, so I'm forgiven. It's all right.
Phew, we're all cool. We're all cool. We're cool. We're good. We're all good. Okay, thanks very much for that.
Not at all. No, it really had been way.
But when was this?
It was, I would say it was in 1997 or so.
Yeah, so this is probably a little bit more now, isn't it? Right. The £4.80 is probably 20, really was
20
give
pence,
the 20p
call
back
it,
and we'll call it quits.
So many amazing people have come through these doors to record session tracks. Now, though, we're going to play one from a little while ago. This is from, 2003, isn't it, Dave? Yeah, from January 2003. Guess the date, Matt?
It was the 21st of November, I think, wasn't it?
I've literally just said... It was January 03.
Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to see if...
I just heard 03.
Just wanted to see if Matt was listening. Turns out Matt's having what's known as an off day. Very grumpy this morning. You went on some... I mean, you've been sort of misrepresenting yourself as well. You know, the moment when it sounded like you were doing a Daily Mail-style immigration rant, that's when I first thought there's something wrong with Matt today. You know,
I wasn't.
If it's just about the bolognese...
It was just the figures that have been published show that quite a few of the people that were arrested over the riots were from foreign countries.
Stop going on about it, racist.
I wasn't just saying.
God,
Steve, I wasn't saying.
What is this bugbear?
There was no message.
What is this bugbear you've got?
I was just saying. It's
something
a story.
Not right about you. We are XFM. We're going to do quiz face now, everybody. Confirm listener, Rona, are you there?
You know what? I am. I'm fantastic, Danny. I can't believe this. This has just made my life. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I'm going to be hysterical. I'm going to be one of them callers. Oh, my God, Danny.
Yes.
Can I just say hello to my daughter, Lily, please?
Of course you can.
She loves you. We love you, Danny. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's great news. No, I'm very pleased about that.
It's great news, Danny. Is it? Come on now.
This is great. So if you're ready, Rona, let's get quizzical. Quiz face. So, Rona.
Yes.
You should know the rules by now.
I do.
Please remember to use your skill and your judgment.
Okay.
The year is 720 BC. You, Rona, are the mighty Fitfit, head of the Tactac tribe in the ancient jungles of Mexico. You're the Grand Poobah of the People's Council, you're warrior of the 11th tier, chief justice, wise man, chieftain, leader, inspiration to all around you. Huh?
How did you know that?
Well, no, exactly. But Rona, you're also under a lot of pressure at work. No one understands, Rona, how hard it is. You've got...
They don't, Danny.
No, you've got this year's budgets to do, Rona. You're the only one who can operate Excel. You've tried training Bitbop, but the man's a bloody idiot. And what's more, you're just so damn alone. All you want, Rona, is someone to laugh with lightly under a duvet on a frosty Sunday morning as you watch...
Oh, you're so right.
I know.
Oh,
as you watch El
Hollyoaks.
I do. And eat past their sell-by-date Easter eggs with, but you don't care because you're in love with that person, and you thought you'd found that person, of course, in Karen, but she was killed by that fawn. And that's what you're thinking about as you clip-clop your way up a mountain path on your way to a meeting about a new recycling scheme that Wim Wim's come up with, when look, just there, Rona, by that tree. What a curious figure.
Hello, traveller. How fortunate I am you have come this way, this day. Oh, woe is me, for it is so hot here in Mexico this time of year. Dear traveller, would thou have any water for me?
Now, of course you do, Rona. But
But there is something about this little man. For he is a centaur. Look, Rona, look at his little fawn legs. See how he skips about.
I'm a little fawn, I'm a little fawn. See me dance, see me dance.
He's dancing for you, Rona.
Oh, wow, it's magical.
It is. Well, what, describe his dancing.
Well, it's jumping, it's skipping, he's lively, he's just making the room come on fire with his glory.
Yes, he is.
I am.
And so instinctively you reach for your water bottle, but then, Rona, you remember something. Karen was killed by a fawn. Slay the fawn. Slay the fawn or let it live. Which shall it be? You have 2 seconds to decide. You have 2 seconds.
I forgive you. I'm forgiving you, fawn. Here's the water. Take it from me now.
You decide to let the fawn live. Well done,
Fip. I'm letting you live. I'm letting you live. Is that the right decision?
Oh, Fip, you have passed my test. The Tak-Tak tribe are fortunate to have you, and for this I bestow upon you a present.
What kind of melody, please?
The clouds start to open, Rona, and look! It's Karen!
What is it?
It's Karen, Rona! She's so beautiful!
Monkey ticket!
No, it's Karen, your long-lost love!
Karen, yes, Karen!
She's so beautiful, she's got a new top on and everything, and she says this to you.
I miss you, Fip, but one day we will be together. If you can answer a question only you know the answer to.
Okay.
The best couples complete each other's sentences, don't they?
They do.
So complete mine. We are...
XFM.
She's done it! Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and I'll tell you what, people in the studio, this is an exciting moment. You know, that not many people have broken into the public eye who have the name Florence. There was Nightingale, obviously. The city's done very well for itself, and in third position, probably, but aiming for first, is Florence Welch, everybody.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You are? Well, that's good. You've injected, you know, the necessary energy into that. I know, though, that you are very tired. it's going to be fine. Florence, we will get through this together.
Oh no, I think I was crowd surfing, not at my gig, at a pub at some point,
right,
after our show. So there's no crowd surfing at the gig, but I definitely remember there being some crowd surfing
now, the fact
in
that,
the pub.
The fact that you're not entirely certain whether you were crowd surfing, I mean, forget the fact you don't remember the location, the fact that you can't remember whether it actually happened.
On like three people though, it wasn't like a big crowd. Right. It was being carried across the pub.
Did you know these three people? This
I
seems
did,
odd.
I did know them. I think one of them was Grace, who's sitting in
there. Grace is over there. Grace, do you remember any of this?
I do. I think I instigated it.
Oh, right, OK. Grace is very much to blame.
I like to crowd surf in some, like, really inappropriate places.
Like an airport terminal?
A dentist's queue, wasn't
it? Right, yeah. Well, maybe we can sort this out.
Inappropriate crowd surfing.
Yes. Well, it's 4 or 5 people in this studio, I'm sure, by the end.
Do it right now.
We could. Do you want to do it? We can make this happen, Florence. We can crowd surf now on The Breakfast Show.
I feel a bit too fragile.
Right, OK, fair enough. Also, I am bespectacled, and I do worry about losing my glasses in situations like that. So, hey, congratulations on the album. It comes out on Monday. It's fantastic. Would you say, I mean, I was trying to think of how to describe it in comparison to Lungs, and I don't know whether more uplifting is the right word, because it sounds like Lungs wasn't, but there's a different energy to it.
Yeah, I think it's sort of as if the sounds I was experimenting with on the first record, you know, I kind of found this sound about halfway through, you know, like there was Dog Days and Cosmic Love, and then there's a song like Kiss of the Fist, and I had to kind of include everything because you had to show where it had come from. But this one, I kind of was given the opportunity to really work on this one sound, on this sound that was kind of a bit more along the lines of like Blinding and Cosmic Love, and to really get to its fullest point and kind of make it whole and to see how far I could take it, really.
And the pressure must have been on with this one.
Do you know what? I think the pressure from the first record was so extreme. It was such like a baptism of fire. Mm. That this time around, I had a much clearer idea of what I wanted to do. And in a sense, it was sort of, it didn't feel as bad, because in the first record I got that award before I'd finished it, and it was my first experience of like doing interviews and media scrutiny, and I'm trying to make this record but I'm not sure what the sound of it even is quite yet, and Paul Epworth's having to pick me off of the floor of the studio
after crowd surfing, or
no crowd surfing, crying.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes. You know, you're a very cool person, all right? You're a very cool person, whether you like it or not.
I'm not sure if you ask anyone that knows me. Well,
apart from the crowd surfing incident last night and your hankering after crowd surfing the dentist surgery, which is the first time I've ever heard anyone have that ambition in life, but it's one that I condone and wish you well with. When aren't you cool? What are the least cool things you do?
I don't know. I have to. There's my sister's here. What?
Grace will know.
Yeah. What's like one of the least cool things I do?
She runs really badly.
Do I have an embarrassing run?
Uh oh.
I told you that.
No way.
Why is this coming to the
fore? Why is my run embarrassing? Is it because I'm so gangly? Like I flail. Oh yeah, and I jump on benches and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like something out of Glee. Right. Well, that's the euphoria. That's the kind of the joyous nature.
Yeah, I get really like overexcited, and then end up like kind of doing like pirouettes and jumping onto benches and things.
Okay, no, fair enough. That has worked. I have lost a lot of respect for you now. I just had a quick look as well. There's a Facebook group called That Extraordinary Human Being Called Florence Welch, and on there, someone's mentioned, or someone has put, and I don't know whether this is true, I've just seen it, that you're going to be on X Factor.
That's not true.
It's not true. There was a kind of a look there that meant that it might be true, but they can't announce it. And there's a wink going on. All I'll say is, officially it's untrue, but it looks like it might not be untrue either. But no one's saying anything, and now she's covering her mouth with her 17th cup of tea.
XFM.
We've got a caller on the line. Unbelievably, his name is Paul. Are most of our listeners called Paul? Yeah. Paul, are you there?
Hello there.
Hello, Paul. Are you a member of the Brotherhood of Paul?
I am a member of the Brotherhood of Paul, yes.
What's going on? And how many Pauls are there currently listening to the XFM Breakfast Show?
I wouldn't have an idea. There's plenty of us.
Yeah, you wouldn't like to say either, because you're very secretive.
No, we're prolific breeders.
You usually move around in twos, don't you?
We do, yeah. Yeah, just to save any problems with names.
Paul's it's quite an egalitarian thing, isn't it? The community. None of you don't like to stand out. You like to blend in with each other. How do you think the other Pauls will feel now that you have raised yourself above the other Pauls and become, in some ways, the king of the Pauls?
They'll be feeling victorious just as I do.
Really? So as long as you're another Paul, all the other Pauls feel happy for any progress made in a Paul's life.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, listen, maybe one day I can be a Paul. I mean, you know, we do have a lot of Pauls. I think it'd be terrific. You know the amazing Paul? It's amazing, that gentleman. Wouldn't it be great to just give him, you know, free reign of the desk for a little while and just do a half-hour podcast with the amazing Paul talking to all the other Pauls? And I'm not a Paul. There's no Pauls here. But I'm happy to facilitate the Brotherhood of Paul. It's a very nice brotherhood, isn't it?
Yeah, they seem to be nice guys.
Honestly, I love it.
Yeah. There doesn't seem to be any set agenda apart from the moving forward the name Paul, I suppose.
I've never met a Paul that I don't like.
I like all Pauls as well. Mm. I think the word appalling should be banned.
It should, yeah.
XFM. Quiz Face.
Hi, my name's Rona. I just won Quiz Face, Britain's best interactive quiz stroke drama. I'm very happy but yet to understand the apathy which Britain's television commissioners are treating it. In my opinion, it is perfect for the coveted 18 to 35 demographic, but would also appeal to older viewers. Anyway, it's just my opinion. Thank you, Danny Wallace! We love you!
We are XFM.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and before me sits one of my favourite people in the world. Certainly in the room, no offence, Matt. It's Adam Hills is here. Hello, Adam, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Very well also, yeah, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Well, the last time we caught up was in a Los Angeles bar.
It was called Dark Rooms or something.
It was.
And you were a few minutes late, and I sat in the corner and listened to lots and lots of people talking about their projects. Projects that I imagined would never happen. And then slowly in you walked. It was like you were out of Entourage. You were surrounded by people. It was you'd just come off stage somewhere.
And I had my brother and another friend, and then there was a girl from Australia who was everyone was descending on Hollywood that
night.
And
I just found out what your brother, I mean, can you tell me what your brother did? Matt is going to be massively impressed.
My brother trains kids to be Jedis.
How cool is that? He's a Jedi trainer, a Jedi master.
Yep, takes them out into a park in the afternoon. And
this is all legal, by the way. this is absolutely fine.
Come on, kids. I'll show you how to be a Jedi.
Use the Force.
Close your eyes. Can you feel it?
This is a breakfast show, by the way. We should probably...
The Force. Can you feel the Force?
Yeah.
He teaches kids to be Jedis, and then he's living in LA and trying to live the Hollywood dream.
Yeah.
And then every now and then on a weekend, he will dress up as Darth Vader and go to a kid's party.
Invited. Very much invited.
That's just the last... When I was over there a couple of months ago, we had dinner one night and I said, oh, how was the party? And he went, yeah, it was great. I was like, what's that? And he went, the dad was Fred Savage from The Wonder Years.
No.
He said, that is a weird moment in your life when you've turned up dressed as Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And the kid from The Wonder Years is now a dad.
My goodness.
And welcomes you to the party.
I imagine a lot of this is going over Baby Dave's head at the moment. Know what The Wonder Years are. I've never heard of a lightsaber. Welcome to the show. It's fantastic to see you. And there's so much stuff going on with you at the minute. I mean, people will know you. In Australia, you're obviously a huge star. In fact, according to your press release, as the host of his own music quiz show in Australia, Adam Hills is seen by more than 1.2 people on a weekly basis.
Wow. Well, clearly that's an average over the season.
you do such great work in Australia. You're known here on the circuit and also Edinburgh, for goodness sakes. You sell like tens of thousands of tickets during the 3 weeks of Edinburgh alone.
And the funny thing is, people in Australia have no idea about this other life that I have.
Is that right?
I was actually on a TV show over here, Soccer AM, last week, and they broadcast the highlights in Australia. And as it went to in Australia, all these people were tweeting going, what on earth is Adam Hills doing on it? And one person just tweeted, oh God, Adam Hills on Soccer AM, I apologise to all of Great Britain.
Oh, no. But you see, that's another aspect of your personality. You were known as one of the nicest men in comedy. And it's just something that's followed you around for years. It's basically a fact. It's known.
And do you know what? I hated that. I've hated that up until recently when someone said, I mean, you're the nicest man in comedy. You're the Dave Grohl of comedy. Hello.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that.
A bit more rock, exactly. why would you be? Why would you not want this nice tag?
I don't know. It was always said as if it was a put down. And then when I think back on it, my dad used to be a Qantas cabin crew, and I remember as a kid, he was always known as the nicest man in Qantas. So I'm sure there was something about me watching my dad going, I want to be like him.
Oh,
doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to be nice.
Well, that's great. I'm overusing the word nice now. You've just finished your UK tour. You've been up and down the country.
I have, and this particular tour was an interesting one because it was, I've been doing stand-up for ages, and I walk out on stage and have a chat to the crowd, and then 15 minutes later I go, oh, I've got to do my show. Yeah. So this year I thought, well, I'm not going to plan a show. I'm just going to do small venues and have a lower ticket price and just mess around with people and see if I can do it for an hour. And there was one night in Swindon where everything just went bananas.
Right. And that sentence has been said a lot, I imagine, over the years. I think the Hangover 3 is going to be set in Swindon.
It's a crazy sound.
We're going to play a song. Any requests?
Yes.
Doesn't matter. We're very heavily playlisted. A little while ago, I rearranged a track. You had to guess who it was and what the song was. This was the clip that we played. It's all in there. So lots of different guesses. Some people saying, is it I Am the Resurrection? It is not. Other people saying, is it Empire of the Sun? It is not. Overwhelmingly, most people seem to get it right.
Yeah.
So we have a random caller picked out. He's on the line. Is it James? Are you there?
Yep, hello.
Hello, James. How are you?
Yes. Hello, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, good. You've not won yet.
Oh, right, yeah.
You're through. let us extend it slightly, and annoyingly for you, by giving us the headlines in James's world right now. What's happening? What are you excited about?
About getting through to your phone.
All right, fair enough. That's the main event in your life right now. Well, let's hope that you are right. What did you think it was?
Mumford & Sons, Little Lion Man.
You'll say Mumford & Sons, Little Lion Man. James, you'll notice that I've adopted what is known in the trade as a tension bed. This means that I can pause for as long as I like.
Ooh, it's a long one. Someone nudge him. I think he's stuck.
James, I can also repeat certain facts, such as you said, Little Lion Man by Mumford & Sons.
Go on, Dermot.
Mumford & Sons, of course, a lot of good songs. Winter Winds, The Cave, of course, you could have picked them. Other people did. But yours, we've run out. Have we run out?
Oh,
play it again.
Tension drones ran out.
But you said Little Lion Man.
Yep.
You a big Mumford & Sons fan?
Yeah, I am, actually.
So you would know. You would know.
I hope I would.
James, we'll find out after the new... No, we won't. We'll be fine. James, here it is. But it was not your... Yay! We are... XFM. This is sad news in from Scotland. And the Scottish accent, Matt, has left iPhone users and in some state of distress because right. The new iPhone, the 4S, mm-hmm. which has voice recognition technology, refuses to recognise the Scottish accent.
No.
And there's all these people who've bought them and they're trying to chat away to their phones and say, can I book a flight, please, or whatever. And it's just looking at him like they're idiots or something. It's mocking them. Hundreds of Apple customers north of the border have been bamboozled by Siri, the iPhone's voice recognition software. Simple words in a broad accent confound the phone and exasperate the user. This is like written in the 18th century. One Glaswegian who habitually signed off with the word cheers, it's nice he's saying cheers to his phone, you know, was stunned when it became chairs. And can you get me a fish supper on the way home? And, you know, I think they've misunderstood what the phone can do here.
Yeah.
So she says, you know, can you get me a fish supper on the way home? And it replies, Jane, I don't understand rubber fishable. Now, this is where the angry nerd comes in.
Yeah.
These failings are symbolic of linguistic imperialism, according to James Robertson, a novelist and Booker Prize nominee. If the phone doesn't recognise a simple word like cheers, it won't recognise much. People are obliged to moderate their voices to make themselves understood by mere machines. It has the effect of modulating everyone's voice towards the most powerful, dominant people in the world. So what he's saying is there's a conspiracy theory to rob the Scots of their accent and turn them into sort of DJs, you know, with like Anglo-American.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you think? I think it's wrong, but I don't think it's a conspiracy.
Okay.
Just unfortunately.
Well, let's get rid of the sad music then.
There'll be an update probably in a few weeks' time, won't they?
A special...
They'll have a Scottish section on the voice recognition thing, I'd imagine.
They should call it the iPhone.
XFM.
He's here, everybody.
Yes.
Hello, Tony Bowen. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. If you don't know, Tony, he's here every Tuesday. He's our resident sort of folk hero, troubadour, the soul of XFM in some ways. Because what he's doing is he is moving his way through the top 1,000 songs of all time as chosen by XFM and doing your own versions of them. They're on YouTube. Yep. People can follow you on Twitter.
Absolutely. Yep. At Tony Bowen Music.
At Tony Bowen Music, or just whack Tony Bowen into YouTube, and you are a few hundred in, and you've brought your acoustic guitar.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You've had a busy week of gigging every night.
Yep.
You're in a competition.
7 gigs in 6 days so far.
7 gigs in 6 days?
Yeah.
You must be exhausted.
Well, the song that I'm about to do, or part of what I'm going to do, I did at a christening on Sunday.
A fight.
And realised about halfway through that it's probably really an inappropriate song to play at Christmas because it has the line, the kid is not my son.
Oh. I think we're all familiar with what the song might be then. Did anyone raise an eyebrow? Did the priest perhaps?
No, it seemed fine, but it's funny you mentioned priest because I text Leah to say, you know, I just did the most inappropriate song. Can you guess what it is?
Right.
She texts back with, son of a preacher man?
Right, yeah, that would be pretty bad. Also.
Yeah.
So I think I can guess what it might be, but why don't you introduce it and then we'll crack on?
Yeah, okay, I'm going to start off with Billie Jean and we'll see where we go from there.
Okay, great. Here he is, Tony Bowen.
She was
All I can do to queen from a movie scene. I said don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who will dance on the floor in the round. She said I am the one, but the kid is not my son. People always told me, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. Mama always told me, be careful who you love. Be careful what you do. For the love becomes the truth. Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl who claims that I am the one. But the kid isn't my son.
Confidence is a preference, the habitual voyeur of what is known as
one life.
And one in sleep can be avoided if you take a route straight through what is known as
one life.
John's got Brewer's Troop, he gets intimidated by the dirty pigeons. They love a bit of it. Who's that gut love marching? You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise.
All the people, so many people, and they all go hand in hand, hand in hand through their pork life.
Tony Bowen, yeah, with Bromley Matt.
XFM.
So what have we learned today, Matt? I'll tell you what we've learned today. You start.
Okay. Well, first up, the hoodoo that confirmed listener Rob the Negatron had on my ability to deliver music news has been lifted this morning. The curse has actually been reversed by a witch doctor, and he's now making mistakes at his place of work.
Good. Today's live broadcast featured a plethora of Pauls, thanks to a brief mention of the Brotherhood after yet another Paul won yet another competition, leading to packs of Pauls. They traditionally move in packs, getting in touch with the show to register their Paulness. Smaller sets of Pauls, now known as Gambaccinis, returned to their hive, where they made love to their queen and sacrificed their lives for the good of the cause.
Good news. Yes, I'm getting my features mixed up. You don't have to be a Paul to like this show.
No, but it helps. That's the slogan.
Not only a huge haul of Pauls today, but an unprecedented amount of textual correspondence about baked pastry goods from a well-known high street pasty peddler whose people have told me there is a traditional seasonal spike in the sales of sausage rolls and steak bakes on Thursdays in late October.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And topics discussed off-air today included whether if me, Matt and Dave play Xbox Live together, we'll have to pause every half an hour for Matt to do the travel, the phrase the big Bosnian, why you should be booked even when you have not exposed your chest, toast as a dinner, mice as wives, and Lucy Virasamy.
We are.
So there you go, that was podcast number 14 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. We've got another great one lined up for you next week. All we need now is a name. Any ideas, please do get in touch. Send them courtesy of podcast number 15.
Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.